Romans chapter 15 and verse 13. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. NIV. Romans chapter 15 and verse 13. Some of you are running on empty. No one knows it, only you. Some of you are on the fumes of a closer walk with Christ, joy and peace. Some of you know, where is the blessedness I knew when first I saw the Lord? Where are the soul refreshing views of Jesus and his word? You've come here to be filled again. And there's not one of us who doesn't desire to know more of the fullness of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Paul is writing this letter to the whole congregation in Rome, the soldiers that come from Nero's palace, the beggars on the streets, the illiterate, the sick, the elderly, the new Christians, and his longing, most of all, for this congregation, is that the God of hope will fill them with joy and peace as they put their trust in him. God, a God of hope. God is hope. God is joy. God is peace. God is gentleness. God is goodness. God is faithfulness. God is meekness. God is self-control. What a wonderful God our God is. So the Lord says to us, not that we are the traffic wardens of the world, but that we are the world's light. And whereas we can point out to men what the wages of sin are, and that God is angry with the wicked every day, and it's a fearful thing to fall into his hands, he's also given us a wonderful message that for everybody we meet from now on, we've got good news for them, that God is a God of hope, and he can fill despairing people with joy and peace, and he can minister to you the emptiness in your life that you feel. It's a charade, and you long for the reality of his presence, of the inner witness of the Holy Spirit. He's the God of hope. He takes sinners, torturers like Saul of Tarsus, deniers of him like Peter, and he talks them and he restores our souls. And if we trust in him, then he will freely pardon us and use us, the God of the second chance. And he will indwell us and change us from the inside and make us the usable, so that we're not going to pray just, Lord, use us in the days to come, but make me usable, so that I know what to say to the people across the table that I talk to and meet for the first time, and we strike up a friendship, and we want to be a blessing to one another. I think in these conferences, the messages are the bonus, and the real things come from just learning about how God has dealt with you and is dealing with you and your needs. Those are the great things. And so we talk about love and joy and peace, and then some of you who are a little cynical, but your parents have brought you here, and you say, oh, that's what I hear all the time. Love, joy, peace. That's what you talk about. How do we know that these things are so? Well, we know these things are so because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. That's why. the glory of the resurrection is that it doesn't belong to the world of hypotheses and the realm of ideas and in the pages of a systematic theology. It belongs to the realm of facts. The empty tomb, the great word of the angel, he is not here, he is risen. Hours when he lay in the tomb, love incarnate in the tomb, wisdom and power seemed to be overthrown and the devil chuckling. But God raises him from the dead and gives him the vindicate. God vindicates incarnate love. And there's the eruption of the power and love of God into this world. Death isn't the end. Death is the beginning for the Christian of this new love shed abroad in our hearts to a measure we've never known before. And it comes to us, this joy and peace, as we put our trust in him. That's what he says. Some of you are troubled whether you have this saving faith. Faith is a strong word. It's a hard word, isn't it? Fide, the Latin word, faith. Well, just let's think of another Anglo-Saxon word, trust. You trust, you can trust. You can trust everything about Jesus Christ, everything. You've got a digital clock at the side of your bed, and in the night you wake up at 3 o'clock, you see the time and turn over. You can trust it. You can trust everything that Jesus is and everything that he has done. And ask, you receive. Seek, you'll find. Knock, it shall be opened to you, the Savior says. He said, I came to lay down my life a ransom for many. Come to me, laboring and heavy laden. I can cope if you all come. I will give you rest, he says. There was once a little girl, age 6, her name was Aspen, and she was being driven from the school. It was his turn to do the school run, and it was pouring with rain, double speed on the windscreen wipers. And they watched together, and she said, Daddy, I've got something to say. Yes, he said. The rain is like sin. And the windscreen wipers, like God, wiping away our sin. She was a funny little girl, but she'd never said anything as profound as that. And he wanted to run with it to see what else she could say. And you notice how the rain keeps coming down, Aspen. What does that tell us? Ah, she said, we keep sinning, but God keeps forgiving us. We wouldn't be here this evening if it were not for the forgiving love of our dear Savior. Our sin has abounded. There is something more abundant than our sin. And that's our Savior, Jesus Christ. And we trust in him then. And when you trust in him, he gives you joy and peace. The joy of knowing God, the joy of hearing his word, the joy of the Lord's day, the joy of hearing the message coming in power and the Holy Ghost and with much assurance, the joy of Christian fellowship, the joy of hearing better preachers than you can ever preach yourself, the joy of the means of grace, the joy of a lisping, stammering tongue that wants to say, but I have to tell you, Jesus has satisfied me in my life, and I'm sure he could satisfy you too. All joy, that's what Paul says, all kinds of joy fitting for every occasion. When you close the eyes of a loved one, and there's that mysterious joy, and your daughters come, and you hug one another and weep, and are so thankful, and she finished the course, Mum did. She kept trusting to the very end. She left us such an example by her life. all joy. A baby is born, all joy. A war ends, all joy, pure joy. When Philip preached in Samaria, they said he was filled with joy. And the Ethiopian eunuch went on his way. He could have said believing or repenting, but he says he went on his way rejoicing. And here I see your faces and recognize so many of you. And God has kept you, everyone, every one of you. We're not in the flames of hell tonight. We're here in a day of grace, and Savior's walking amongst us and sitting next to you and saying, ask, be filled with joy and peace as you trust in me. Keep trusting in him. John Newton uses the illustration, the angels are gathered before God to get their instructions for the day. And to one, he says, I want you to be the emperor of the greatest empire in the world. And the angel goes and does it. And he says to the next angel, I want you to clean the sewers in the most stinking latrines in a big city. The angel goes and does it. It doesn't matter to an angel. What matters is that the Lord wants him. And the Lord wants to use him. And he desires to please Almighty God. There's a fellow in, a girl in my church, and a fellow fell in love with her, great guy. And they got engaged, but it didn't work out. She dumped him. He was absolutely heartbroken about it. He said to me, oh, I'll be a single man now for the rest of my life. Come on, I said, you'll find somebody. No, she was the only one for me. And he went into the ministry, he became a preacher. 20 years went by. And then he met a girl in, saw a girl in the congregation. He waited till she was 18. And then he went to her parents. Her father was an elder in the church, and he said, can I get your permission to take her out for a meal? And he and his wife talked together, and they said, no, the age gap between you is too big, and she's too young for us, romantic entanglement. So he accepted it, and then 2 weeks later, he saw a young man in the congregation starting to sit next to her in every service, finding her hymns, singing with her. And then that young man came to him and he said, Pastor, you know I'm friendly with this girl now. Can you give me some advice? Can you give me some counsel of courtship? I want to do things right. He said to me, I'd make her a far better husband than he ever would. And I sympathized with him, and I was so sorry. I was so sorry that such a nice fellow. No romance in the manse. He said to me, it's all right, Jeff. It's all right. We believe if we ask anything from God, he either gives us what we ask for, or he gives us something better. And that sentence, it's stuck in a memory cell. I'll never forget it. It's done a lot of pastoral counsel for me. Either he gives us what we ask for, or there's something better. And 2 years later, he met the girl he married. I married them, and now they have 4 children, and there's joy and love in the manse. God had something better. And the result of going to God and saying, I'm empty, Lord, fill me these days, is that we overflow with joy. That's what it says. We overflow with joy. Not that we are smug and self-satisfied, but we're energized again. We are steadfast. We are unmovable. We are abounding in the work of the Lord. It's not weariness for us to get out of our homes in the evening and drive and talk and share and comfort and strengthen. Every preacher talks about the two seas in the Holy Land, the Sea of Tiberias, the Sea of Galilee, teeming with fish. The Jordan flows in from the north and out to the south, and down it goes to the deepest spot on earth. And the Dead Sea swallows it up. Nothing lives there. It just takes and takes and doesn't give. And we are those that want to take all that God has to offer to us. Oh, may he offer us much. May we have grace to take it all. The rebuke, the correction in righteousness, the instruction, the doctrine. May we take it all and love him still. And may we not just pray, Lord, use me, but make me usable in your service during these days. God of hope, fill me with joy and peace as I trust in you, that I can overflow to my congregation and to my workmates and to fellow students, and I can be a blessing to them. Now may the God of peace fill you with joy and peace, the God of hope, that you may be filled and overflow by the power of the Holy Spirit. Oh, may he come and empower us all in these ways. Amen. Our gracious and loving Father, lead us now in prayer, we pray. Oh, open our hearts and open our minds, open our lips to testify to one another your great goodness to us since we met in this room and prayed before. Surely your goodness and mercy have followed us until this very moment. And oh, who is a pardoning, merciful, loving God of hope than you are? And you see our secret shame, the things that even our loved ones don't know about. What abundant mercy. Please make us usable. Please enable us to overflow with love to one another. Give us ears to hear and wisdom to speak and grace to be silent in the days to come. We ask it all in Jesus' precious name. Amen.